Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
347-677-1835 to take part in tonight's show. That's 347-677-1835. Here we are live at Missouri Grassroots Radio tonight. I've got Lisa here producing the show. How are you, Lisa?
I'm doing great, Dave. Congratulations on your flagship launch here.
Well, yeah, it's great. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun, and hopefully we can do some kind of a service here. Let's get those callers in, 347-677-1835, if you want to participate in tonight's show. How was your weekend?
My weekend was great. I had a great Mother's Day. Happy belated Mother's Day to all the Patriot moms out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mothers are one of the greatest things about America, I'm telling you, one of the greatest things about our nation. Okay, we're going to start off tonight with a National Minute. And you know, last week, you and I talked about this a little bit, Lisa, and we talked about Mitt Romney being the presumptive nominee, and just outside the window here, there's a big fire engine going by, so can you hear that?
Yes, they may not be thrilled about Mitt Romney being the presumptive nominee. Maybe they're coming to take him away.
That may be, but I did a little investigating today, and I still believe it'll be Mitt Romney, no doubt about it, but there's a lot of talk now, and rightful talk, about the possibility of a brokered convention. You know, you'll turn on mainstream media, who've been saying from day one that Mitt Romney was going to be the candidate, you know. I mean, even when there were seven people on the stage, Mitt Romney was always going to be their candidate. And you'll hear them say, almost without fail, that Mitt is within less than 130 votes of 130 delegates of locking this thing up and making it sound like a sure thing. But if you'll go and look, when they say that he's that close, what they've got is they're giving all of Santorum and Gingrich's delegates to Mitt Romney, and that's just not the way it's going to pan out, Lisa. Those delegates are really uncommitted now and free to go any direction they want. It is a fact, of course, that both Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum have endorsed Mitt Romney. But that alone doesn't mean that those delegates are going to go that way. As you and I both know, a whole ton of Santorum and Gingrich delegates, votes, either in primaries or in caucuses, were not really Gingrich or Santorum delegates. They were anti-Romney delegates. So if they remain anti-Romney delegates, they will not just automatically fold into the pile. I still think it'll be Romney, because even if we go to a brokered convention, then the party elite will be at the reins for any second and third ballots, and it will be Romney in the end. But it could be fun to watch.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think that we're going to be surprised at the number of Paul people that managed to sneak in. I think Paul, the way he's run the caucuses across the country, I think we'll have a significant presence.
Oh, I think he'll have a more than significant presence. Sure, he'll definitely have a strong input into the platform, for sure. If he doesn't force himself onto the ticket somehow. So anyway, that's where we're at for the National Minute. We're going to go talk about some Missouri stuff when we come back from break. We're going to take a quick break here and Then when we come back, we'll talk about what we're going to do here for the next couple or 3 months. We're going to set the stage for that tonight.
Jobs, taxes, traditional family values, education, protecting the unborn, Second Amendment, tort reform. These are the issues facing Missourians today. Hi, I'm Terry Barner. As your next state senator, I will continue to work to change government by preserving our liberties, reining in wasteful spending, and making the state of Missouri responsive to its citizens. I am a pro-life constitutionalist who believes our state and federal constitution are there for reputation from overreaching government. I firmly believe that only by ignoring those documents has the government at all levels been able to trample on the liberty of its people. I would appreciate your vote this August 7th. I'm Terry Barner, and I approve this message.
Our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape our government in the interests of the people. In most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous, the economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level. It's time to send a message to Jefferson City in Washington, D.C. Enough! If you're not registered to vote, I've got a feeling that the
tide is turning. Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Well, a little learning curve there. I kind of tromped over that last one, didn't I?
That's okay. We'll remix it and do it better next time.
We'll do it better next time. Okay. Well, what we're going to do here, I'll just lay out the groundwork for where the Hour of Truth is going to go for the next 2 or 3 months. So we're going to start with the Senate. We're going to review quickly tonight all the races. Now, as you know, every other election, we vote for half the Senate. So this time we're voting for all the odd-numbered districts. So if the district is odd-numbered, then that senator is up for grabs. So we'll review what races there are. And again, as you say in your piece there, Lisa, and as you've said from the start, as far as grassroots Missouri politics goes, the primary is the real race for us. I mean, we are all going to be behind the Republican / conservative with a capital C when it comes November. We make the difference right here in the primary by replacing the rhinos with conservative constitutionalist people. Don't you agree?
Well, that's the plan. You know, I'm not sure that we've got conservative with capital C at this point, but I think that this election will make a huge statement. I think we're going to bring out a lot of grassroots folks to come out and make their voices heard and hopefully make it well known that we do expect conservative with a future, or there will be consequences at the polls.
Well, I don't now. You and I are talking about two different definition of terms here. When I say conservative with a capital C, I'm talking about a bad thing. I'm talking about Michelle Bachmann. I'm talking about conservatives with a capital C as Republicans with a capital R who really, really don't want less government, just want their government. They want prescription drug tracking in as law, as part of law and order. They want E-Verify forced on people, on employers. Those are conservatives with a capital C, as far as I'm concerned, a party. When you become a party, you've got real problems, in my opinion. I want conservative with a small C, constitutionalist with a capital C, and that's where I want to go.
Well, yeah, that would be my definition too. Strong conservatives are just don't exist in the Republican Party, as far as I'm concerned, anymore.
That's right.
And I think it's up to the grassroots movement to shake things up, and I think they will. I think they're going to come out in force this this election season, and I think we're going to be able to influence the independent voters and make our voices heard. It's time. We're kind of tired of the status quo and politics as usual, and we're ready to go back to bringing back the culture of conservative politics that really means conservative politics, small government.
That's right. That's right. So what we're going to do here is we're going to recap the races coming up tonight, and then we're going to expand this hour to 90 minutes. We'll still call it the hour of truth, just because that sounds pretty cool, but it's going to be the 90 minutes of truth from this week forward. And what we're going to do is we're going to start with District 3, because District 1 has no primary race. And we're going to go down, and everywhere there's a primary race, we're going to pick a district a week, and we're going to vet the candidates that are running. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about if they have any legislative record. We're going to talk about their legislative record. If they have any stands, published stands on issues, we're going to talk about that. If they have... we're going to talk about where their money comes from. That's pretty important, don't you think?
Oh, exactly.
We're going to talk about where their support comes from and where their endorsements come from. You know, if they're being endorsed by Tilly, then we want to look extra hard at them. And then on top of that, we're going to invite the candidate that is up for vetting that week, is going to be invited to come and speak with us, defend his positions, his or her positions, tell us themselves where they stand and what the issues are to them. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that's great. I would like to send out a notice to all of the candidates running for office that Missouri Grassroots Coalition is an organization of the people. This is not a place, this is not a platform for them to pontificate. We expect real, concrete, solid answers and substantive answers when we ask our questions. We intend to vote on the response and the respect given thereof from the candidates.
Oh, yeah, and while we will give every candidate who comes on this show all the respect in the world, and we will ask the hard questions, we will ask the tough questions, and we will expect answers, and we will ask the tough question until we get the answer, won't we?
Absolutely.
Okay, so go ahead.
No more dancing.
That's right, no more dancing. Okay, we're going to start. In District 1, Jim Lemke is unopposed in the primary. Lemke received, if I'm not mistaken, the Locke and Smith Award in the Senate as the most constitutional senator this past year. I haven't done a lot of research on Lemke, so I don't know if I would agree with that award or not, but I think that's a feather in his cap. He is the incumbent. He is a lifer. He termed out in the House prior to running for his first term in the Senate. This will be his second term, and he'll term out after this. But he is unopposed in the primary, so we won't spend a lot of time on him as the general election comes around. Of course, we'll talk about him, and we'll push him and make sure that he gets to come back. In District 3, we've got Varner versus Romine. This is the seat currently held by the Rhino Engler. He's termed out of the Senate, and he hopes to continue his life in politics as a representative in the 116th into the House. We'll be talking later about the House races, and... there's a good grassroots candidate, Robinson, running against Engler over there, and we'll be vetting that district very, very carefully. This will be the race we feature next week. Varner has already agreed to come along, and we will be talking to Romine this week, and we'll be trying to get them both on 45 minutes each, and we'll spend 45 minutes on each candidate vetting them. Five, I'm really disappointed by District 5, Lisa. There's no Republican candidate there at all. Robin Wright Jones is the incumbent Democrat. She's in a three-way primary, so you have to consider her vulnerable if she's in a three-way primary, I would think, in a heavily Democratic district.
Yeah, I would consider that a pretty vulnerable position to be in.
Yeah.
I haven't really heard much of anything about any of those candidates coming out, any of those Republican candidates coming out of that district, though. I'd like to see some of them get a little bit more high profile.
Well, there are no Republican candidates in five. That's the problem. There are no Republicans have filed in five. So it will be whoever wins this Democratic primary is going to be there.
Done.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. We could, I believe we probably could have taken this seat. Seven, no Republican candidate. And this is a lost seat for the Republicans. There are no Republican candidates filed. And the Democrats will take this seat. The primary, again, is the election for this seat. This is Cunningham's old seat, remember? And she lost out in the redistricting.
Right.
So, nine, we have no Republican running again against Kiki Curtis, a very liberal incumbent Democrat running unopposed in either the primary or general. So Kiki's home free. Must be great to not have to raise any money to go back to Jefferson City.
I'm not sure I'm comfortable with the current state of affairs here. You know, you kind of have to wonder how much the liberal judiciary had to do with the redistricting issues and how.
Oh, absolutely.
How huge part in eliminating Republican candidates.
Yep. No Republican running in 11 against Paul Lavoda. Lavoda. I don't know Paul. He's running unopposed in the primary and in the general. I believe we probably should have picked up this seat. I don't know what kind of a district that is. I'll be looking into that. But I went back and looked at his legislative record, and he's kind of a quiet legislator, which may be good. But as we were talking the other night, writing 100 bills a year probably isn't what we want right now. In 13, Jacqueline Thomas is running in the Republican primary unopposed. This seat's being vacated by Tim Green, a union liberal Democrat. He's termed out of the legislature entirely, having already filled all his time in the House and now all his time in the Senate. He will be opposed by a Democrat. This is a potential gain seat for us, so we want to pay close attention to Jacqueline Thomas when it comes time for the general election. We won't spend any time on her in the primary because she's running unopposed. In the 15th, Eric Schmidt is running unopposed in both the primary and general. He is the current incumbent, and he's running for a second term, so he's a shoe-in. He's not going to have any opposition in either race. Ryan Silvey is running unopposed in the 17th, but he will be opposed by Sandra Reeves in the general election. She is running unopposed on the other side. This is a pretty safe Republican seat. The primary needed a fighter for constitutional government, in my opinion. Silvey is not the guy, but he's going to be the guy. He's moving over into the Senate from 6 years in the House, where he was Tilly's whip, if that tells you anything. You there?
Oh, I'm here. I'm sorry. Oh. I'm ready to move on. I agree with you completely on the Silvey comments.
It's kind
of one. You have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Okay. Kurt Schaefer in the 19th is running unopposed in the primary, but he will be opposed again by Mary Steele in the general. This is a historically Republican stronghold Schaefer's in, and he is the incumbent, and he's shooting for a second term. He's been kind of quiet. I think he sponsored a couple pieces of legislation. One about had to do with he co-sponsored, actually. I remember he co-sponsored the open carry that got rolled into another bigger omnibus bill. So he doesn't actually have any sponsorship coming out as law. But from what I've read, he looks pretty strong, pretty constitutional. David Pierce and Mike McGee, that's one we'll feature because that's going to be a very heated primary. And they're actually going to face Ellen Verdute and a libertarian, Stephen Hendrick. Republican Stouffer holds this seat now, and he's termed out. He is, I don't know if you know Stouffer. You know Stouffer at all. He is my choice, if you want to look him up sometime, for the Secretary of State primary. He's termed out of the Senate, and instead of trying to stay in the legislature the rest of his life, he decided to move up, and he's running for Secretary of State. And so far in the Republican primary, from what I've seen, that's the way I'm going to lean. But Pearson McGee will have a heated primary for that seat, and we'll try to hold that in the Republicans, and we will vet these two guys very carefully and see which way we want to go on that. In the 23rd, Tom Dempsey is unopposed in both the primary and general. He switched to the Senate in a special election back in 06, 08. So this will be, he's going for a second term there now. And he's going to get it, of course, because he's totally unopposed in both elections. Here's a good primary here in the 25th. Billy Pat Wright, it will face off against Doug Liebla in the primary. And the winner of that will face Terry Swinger, an unopposed Democrat. Meyer is the incumbent Republican. He's retiring from active legislative politics. He's termed out of both houses, a lifelong politician. So we'll be seeing how Billy Wright and Doug Liebla look. And we'll be looking at Robert Meyer and what his record is and seeing where he wants to go. And depending on his record being, we'll weigh that heavily on which of these two we like. In the 27th, either Wayne Wallingford or Ellen Brandom is going in. They are they're facing off in a primary, a Republican primary. And they will be, whichever one wins, will be unopposed by a Democrat. So we'll spend some time vetting that very, very carefully, because as you know, in an election like that, the primary is the general election. Now, here's the last three districts, and these are going to be really fun. One of them, this next one, District 29, may actually take two 90-minute sessions. It's a four-way primary. Lisa, do you know how we do four-way primaries in this state? I'm not familiar with it. Well, we have. Do they have to get a certain percentage of the vote or have a runoff?
You know, I really don't know for sure. I can't really say for sure, but I'm guessing that it's just a majority.
Yeah, I've never lived in a district that had a four-way primary.
You know, what a nice thing to have. It's kind of nice to know that there are that many people out there in any given district that want to, you know, make a change.
I don't know any of these people. Unfortunately, they're all the way down there in District 29, so we'll have a few weeks for me to research them before this show comes up. But we have James Strahan, Gail Ridge, David Sater or Satter, and Jim Strafus. And one of those will run unopposed by a Democrat. So one of those is actually going to win the primary and from the primary become the senator for District 29. So with a four-way primary, we'll almost certainly spend 2 weeks on that to give each candidate their full 45 minutes. And knowing that the candidate that comes out of that, the winner, will be the senator. Goodman currently holds that seat. You've heard of him. He's termed out of the Senate. And since he served two terms in the House, he probably is not going to try to stay in the legislature. In 31, we have a three-way race. Scott Largent, Ed Emery, or Dave Morris will face off against Charlie Burton. The seat is currently held by David Pierce. Pierce will run for a second term in the Senate, but he's running over in the 21st because he woke up one morning and found himself on the other side of a district line from where he was currently serving. So Pierce will be, we talked about him already, he'll be moving over to the 21st and that leaves an empty seat there, and a three-way race in the Republicans, and then a one Democratic challenger for that seat. We have to watch that seat very closely because, again, that could be a loss if we're not careful. I don't know what the demographic makeup of the new 31st is, but I can be sure that it was drawn for the Democrats. And then our last race, number 33, is another three-way primary, and we'll spend some time on it. It's going to be a good one. Mike Cunningham. I haven't looked at Mike. I wonder if he's related. I wonder if he's a – is he a Cunningham?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think there's a relation.
Okay, Mike Cunningham, Don Wells, and Ward Franz were running against each other for the privilege of serving the district. Another primary that is the general election, because whoever wins that will be unopposed. So that basically is the rundown. We have 7, 8, 9 races where we will actually be talking to candidates and vetting candidates, and hopefully coming up with what my suggestion. Now, understand from the get-go that everything that I say on the Hour of Truth is the Dave Court opinion. There's no endorsement by Missouri Grassroots Coalition for anything that I say. You're getting the straight poop from me, and which you'd ought to consider gospel truth, actually, because that's the way it is. I mean, I'm the master of what's constitutional. So there you go.
From a libertarian point of view.
From a libertarian point of view, and that's the most constitutionalist, even more constitutional than the Constitutionalist Party. That's us libertarians. Okay, that's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to that, Lisa. I'm really, really looking forward to that. I think this is one of the things that grassroots organizations ought to be doing. We're getting some vetting forms. We've launched our website today, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. We're getting some vetting forms up there that you can take to your smaller home groups and use to vet candidates. It'll allow you to compare candidates side by side on how they stand constitutionally on the issues, and you can get a good comparison right down from the check marks. Thank you, Mike Smith. Mike Smith spent a year now, has spent just about the better part of a year putting those vetting forms together. We all looked at them at a meeting here. When did we have that meeting? About February?
Yeah, February, March.
Early February, yeah. And I really like the looks of them. He took them home to do some more work on them, and we'll have those up at the website. So you can print them off and take them home to your 912 groups, your constitutional groups, your Tea Party groups, your fair tax groups. Some of the things that I'll be asking these candidates about are the issues that are dear to me, and that's going to be, of course, taxation. I'm a fair tax guy. It's going to be the scope of government. I don't believe the government, I'm a libertarian. I don't believe the government needs to be telling us what to do any more than they have to. Now, I'm disappointed as I was drafting just for fun to forward to my senator a recommended piece of legislation that required me to go and read several states' constitutions. And I have always been disappointed by this in the Missouri state constitution, but I find that it's pretty much the norm, and I'm disappointed by it in the majority of state constitutions that I've read, and that is that the states did not follow the lead of the founding fathers and use the state constitution to define the limitations of the state government. Have you noticed that about our constitution?
Yes, I have. And
isn't that a little disappointing? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think because they had the idea that states were at least some form islands unto themselves, you know,
right.
Independence of the larger government, that we could, you know, have greater authority to do things as we wanted to do.
And
over time, I think the idea of smaller government within the states has gotten lost. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm. And I agree with you. Yeah, and the states are in fact constitutionally, except for those very limited powers granted to the federal government, the states are the government. But I would very, very much like to have seen the states use their constitutions to limit the power of government rather than to define the role of government. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, Lisa, and we'll come back and we'll talk. We'll just kind of have a preview of what the next 3 months here is going to look like on the Hour of Truth. And then we'll turn it over to you, and you can tell us what's coming up on the Culture Vigilante this week. We've also got a new player, Vaughn Carricker. She's going to be along tomorrow night. I talked to Vaughn a bit today, and I don't know where she's going with her hour. But I'm sure it'll be fun. I'm sure it'll be exciting. I'll be along to help her out, co-host and run the board for her, and we'll see what's coming up. But Vaughn's a really, really exciting person. She's a conservative attorney, and we'll look forward to hearing a lot that she has to say. We do a lot of back and forth talk here about the judiciary and what goes on in the judiciary and what goes on in the legal world. And it'll be absolutely great to have a conservative legal mind on the panel, don't you think, Lisa?
Yeah, conservative legal minds, it's kind of almost an oxymoron. You just don't run across them very often. And
you
it's
know.
Kind of a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it is. Okay, quick break, and we'll be right back.
Jobs, taxes, traditional family values, education, protecting the unborn, Second Amendment, tort reform. These are the issues facing Missourians today. Hi, I'm Terry Barner. As your next state senator, I will continue to work to change government by preserving our liberties, reining in wasteful spending, and making the state of Missouri responsive to its citizens. I am a pro-life constitutionalist who believes our state and federal constitution are there for our protection from overreaching government. I firmly believe that only by ignoring those documents has the government at all levels been able to trample on the liberty of its people. I would appreciate your vote this August 7th. I'm Terry Barner, and I approve this message.
Attention free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hard-working, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
The government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
All right, there it is. We're back. If you'd like to call in tonight and participate in the show, it's 347-677-1835. I'm Dave Court, and Lisa's here with me. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Dave.
Well, it's been fun. Tonight, I'm really, really looking forward to what we're going to do here. We've got several races where we're actually going to try to get the candidates in here to talk to us. If they don't want to come talk to us, we're going to vet them anyway. And we'd like to have them come along.
It would be in their best interest.
I'd say so, sure. Especially, I mean, grassroots Missouri is a huge, huge movement. We are really Missouri. We're not kidding when we say Missouri is a bellwether state in the grassroots movement. I would say that right here in the heart of the country, we are leading the pack in grassroots politics.
Well, I would agree with that, and I think the Tea Party, I think, was mainly born here in the St. Louis area, and it's been a part of across the country, and Missourians have a very strong constitutional core, and the people across Missouri are very, very serious about their politics. And the Grassroots Coalition is a great place for people to gather that kind of information.
I've never lived in a state. I'm a long time in the military, and so I've lived in almost all the states, or been in almost all the states at one time or another. And I've never been in a state where people knew as much as Missourians do about their local politics. Most people in most states are pretty ignorant about their local politics.
Well, I've never lived anywhere but Missouri, so I don't have a whole lot to draw from on that, but I find it refreshing. I was one of those apolitical people up until about 10 years ago or so, maybe 15 years ago, and I find it very refreshing, the number of people that are waking up and becoming involved and engaged in their local government.
I don't want to embarrass you, so just tell me, it's none of my business, but tell me what changed in your life that caused you to suddenly want to become political?
Kids. It became future. You know,
there,
I started to get my kids involved in the school system, and I got elected to the school board, and you know, kind of one thing led to another, and that was, and we were off to the races after that.
Well, nothing really will get you interested in what the future of your country holds than just having the very act of having children. I mean, suddenly it's not all about living for today, and there's something that you care for that's going to be around a long time after you're gone, and it serves a purpose for you at that point to protect their future, and that's when a lot of people become involved in politics and start finding out what's going on, don't you think?
Oh, I would agree. I would absolutely agree with that, and I mean that's true. There's nothing like kids to wake you up and make you realize it's not about you. It's not all about you anymore, and that there's something bigger than you. And if you want a legacy for them to live up, you know, live in after you're gone, you need to lay the foundation now. So yeah.
And really, I mean, when it's all boiled down to just the water in the pot, that's true on both sides of the aisle. I mean, for us, the future of the country, the future of freedom, the future of liberty, the future of individual responsibility, and how that impacts our children, that is what gets us involved and keeps us involved, our children and our grandchildren and liberty. Yet, and for the other side, it's their children too, but it's whether or not these food stamps are going to be around for their children and whether or not Medicaid is going to be around for their children. And we have generations and generations of people who are brought up in this nanny state and are totally oblivious to the just more stories in the newspaper this week about increasing riots in Spain now because of the government austerity. And sooner or later, Lisa, in any country, I don't care what country it is, somebody's going to have to stand up in front of the people and say, we just don't have enough money for that anymore. And that's when it's going to hit the fan.
I can't imagine living in a country or a state where you're not trying to having a better place for your kids than what you had.
No, I can't either. I can't either. You know,
those countries that are dealing with the collapse of their governments and the socialist engulfment of their lives, I don't understand it.
Yep. My children are grown now, are grown, married, gone, have kids of their own, as you know, and I can proudly say that every one of my children is doing better than I did. And that makes me very, very proud. It makes me proud of America. It makes me proud of what this country stands for. And it makes me tremble in fear that it is entirely likely that my children will not be able to look at my grandchildren in that same fashion.
I think it's a very realistic expectation.
Yeah. And that's where we started. We started with the Romney thing. We started last week with the Romney thing, and I'm telling you, my dear conservative Republicans and libertarians, do not stay home in protest of the fact that Romney is not what any of us want. Please get out there and vote the anti-Obama vote, because 4 years, four more years of Obama, and we are done. Your grandchildren are finished. It just is that simple. Okay, Lisa, tell us about what's coming up Wednesday.
Well, Wednesday we have Brian Hook from the Missouri Journal, and he's going to give us an update on Missouri economics and the budget coming out of the House of Representatives and the Senate. It's his contention that surprise, that they're not curtailing the spending, and it's being driven by Republicans, surprise, surprise. And we'll also have Sandy Garber. She is the leader of the K&N Patriots here in St. Charles County, Missouri. They've got a great and interesting story about how the K&N Patriots began, and she'll be there to tell us about that on Wednesday.
Great. Great. Sounds like a great time. Lisa, as you know, is going to lead us on Wednesdays in the Culture Vigilante Hour. That's also the name of her blog, and kind of – is that the name of your column, or
– that is the name – I have several blogs. That's the name of one of my blogs, Culture Vigilante,
right,
where conservatives gather to take back their culture because no one's going to do it for them.
Exactly, exactly. It's all about the culture of this grassroots movement and what we're all about, and why we believe that America is about culture as much as economics and liberty. Economics and liberty are just offshoots of the culture that is the American way of life. Isn't that about where that goes, Lisa?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the American culture is based on the Constitution. The Constitution's being chipped at away every day on a state and national level. And if you want to save your culture, you have to save the Constitution.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a culture and remains a culture, at least at our level, of nothing is more important than individual liberty. Patrick Henry, you know how it goes. Nothing is more important than individual liberty in the maintenance of a free nation. Along with individual liberty, as we all will know, comes individual responsibility. And along with individual responsibility, then that all filters. That's where we're at in grassroots, in Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Everything filters up. Everything doesn't filter down. Individual responsibility cumulatively leads to government responsibility locally. Government responsibility locally leads to state responsibility, and responsibility at the state level leads to responsibility at the national level. It all goes up, and it all has its basis in personal liberty tempered with personal responsibility. And that is the culture that Lisa spends a good deal of time talking and writing about, and we appreciate that from her. And you talk about that quite a bit too, in your column over there at, I'm going to write that down and remember it. What's the name of that paper you write for?
Oh, examiner.com.
Examiner.com. I've got it. I've actually got it bookmarked, but I've only got your column bookmarked, so I don't ever see the name. I don't ever actually go to the examiner.com. I'll have to start doing that. Is it a pretty good paper, I mean, except for your article?
It's pretty good, including my articles.
Yeah.
And you can go to examiner.com, St. Louis Political Buzz, and you can subscribe to my column and get it fed to your email every time I publish. My latest publication will go straight to your email there. I write for the St. Louis Political Buzz in the St. Louis area. Examiner.com is a national online newspaper. They have locations in almost every city in the country, and they write. I happen to write in the political aspect, but it's a general newspaper format, entertainment, news, politics editorials.
Okay, so we'll have Vaughn tomorrow night. We'll have the Culture Vigilante Hour on Wednesday. Thursdays we're going to do an hour of free speech. It's going to be Free Speech Thursday. Whoever my co-host is on Thursdays will come along, and we'll have some stuff to banter about and talk about, mostly light fare. But what we do is we're going to encourage you. You don't have to on that night. That's listener appreciation night. You don't have to. There's no topic that you have to stick to. Like tonight, if someone called in and wanted to talk about something that was off topic, we would ask them to call back on Thursday night. So on Thursday night, you don't have to, you can call in and talk about anything you want to. We'll be glad to talk to you about it and with you about it. We'll be glad to hear your opinions on absolutely anything that goes on in the world of grassroots politics. And then Friday every week is going to be the fun night. That's going to be, well, not that Culture Vigilante isn't fun. It's great fun, but Friday we just kind of let our hair down, and we have a roundtable with all of the hosts, the various hosts, co-hosts, producers, board people, anybody that's involved in Missouri Grassroots Radio comes along to the studio and sits in for a wild and woolly roundtable discussion. These will be fun hours because, as you've already seen from some Elisa's and my talk, we are a group of people who are grassroots constitutionalists, and what that means is that some of us have slightly different opinions on some issues than others. It's fun. It really is fun, and none of it, every bit of it, is constitutional government. No matter which opinion you take on something, it really all boils down to an argument of whether or not the government belongs involved in this particular aspect of our lives, and it's all good discussion. Nobody gets angry, and it's incredibly important that people hear all these different opinions because.
Well, except when we're discussing the CONCON.
Except when we're discussing the Constitutional Convention, in which case I'm right and Lisa is wrong.
Do I control here? So I can probably cut you off.
It's important for us to understand, I mean, even as conservative constitutionalists, that the other side, I mean, even the way other side, they have reasons and sound arguments for the way they feel. I mean, it is incredibly important that we not get so sterile in our demand for constitutional government that we fail to realize that a mother of four who's working a $30,000 a year job with no child support, for her, health care is a issue. I mean, it's an issue. It's a grassroots issue in her kitchen and when she sits down to write the bills at the end of the month. And as much as we despise Obamacare, as much as we despise the government-run health care system, it would do us very well as conservative constitutionalists to approach that argument with an understanding of the fact that that's not a non-issue to that mother, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's important. It's important to hear all the different angles and all the different sides and to understand that everybody has a point. And everybody has a good, solid, valid reason why they believe what they believe. We might be able to dissuade them from the idea that in the long run, a government-run healthcare system is the best thing for their child. But we will not be able to dissuade them from the fact that for them, when they sit down and write the bills at the end of the month, healthcare is an issue. Rising gas prices are an issue. And so we'll discuss all of those things and get down to the nitty-gritty. So that's it. Monday, Hour of Truth. Tuesday, Von Karikar's Hour. Wednesday, Lisa and the Culture Vigilante. Thursday, the Free Speech Hour. And Friday, the Roundtable Discussion. And there you have a week of Missouri Grassroots Radio. Again, recapping as far as the Hour of Truth goes, we'll be spending the next 3.5 or 4 months vetting. Well, we'll be venting a little bit, too. We'll be venting quite a bit, but we'll be vetting these candidates that are going to be specifically candidates that are going to be in Republican primary races to try to weed out the rhinos from the constitutional conservatives, the capital C conservatives from the small c constitutional capital C, or small c conservative capital C constitutionalist candidates. And we'll try to use that vetting to make a difference. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk for about 3 or 4 more minutes, and then we're going to call it a night.
Our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape our government in the interests of the people. In most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous. The economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level. It's time to send a message to Jefferson City in Washington, D.C. Enough! If you're not registered to vote, the deadline to be eligible to vote in the August primary is July 11th and October 10th for the general election in November. The Patriot Revolution begins in 2012, and it happens at the polls. Vote in the August primary and the November general.
I will be held accountable. I've got 4 years. If I don't have this done in 3 years, then there's going to be a one-term proposition. I will be held accountable. I've got 4 years. If I don't have this done in 3 years, then there's going to be a one-term proposition.
They are asking women. Can you imagine in 2012 they debated contraception? It's war on blacks, it's war on women, war on immigrants.
It's war on black people, it's a war on women, and it's a war on immigrants. That's Al Sharpton talking about the Missouri voter ID law when he was in Jefferson City last week. Thank you, Al. We appreciate that. Okay, that's going to be a wrap for tonight, Lisa. I'm going to do something about this microphone I'll tell people right now, I have a horrible, horrible cold, and that's why you can hear me breathe a lot. I'm incredibly raspy, but I'll try to figure out a way to get the microphone farther away from my mouth or take longer pauses so I can breathe slower. And
it's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress, and we're going to get it right. Okay, Lisa, let's just say goodnight to these fine folks. We'll talk to you folks tomorrow night. Von Karikar will be here. She'll have some guests, I believe, and that'll be fun. We'll be watching for that. Wednesday night, I'll talk to you Wednesday, Lisa, at the Culture Vigilante Hour.
Okay, great, Dave. Thanks a lot.
All right. We'll see you all, and Godspeed.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.